Another key to this thing is preservation and biomass protection. We're very concerned, deeply concerned, with the small strip of clams now along the shores in the state that we're not going to have a lot of spat in the water column, a lot of biomass, and that once we reach, we may have already reached critical point. We don't know. But we know we're dangerously low on clams, spawning clams. We call it the salt shaker theory. That came from Dr. Brian Beal. Essentially, you know, we want to make sure that there's the areas of the coast. For example, the New Meadows is a critical. We've identified that as a potential critical shellfish spat resource region. You know, we know that all clams come from the east. We know this through the study, the extensive studies that have been done, that clams generally float about in the water column for 2 weeks, and in the summer, the tides and the currents are the same. And pretty much, they've been the same every year for hundreds of years. I don't know hundreds of years, but that's the general. They haven't changed for a long, long time, you know. So there may be different fluctuations. Some years you may get a different variation of a cove or a wind current or something like that. But overall, we do know that all clams come from the eastern direction in the state of Maine. So clams that are in your town, you know, there's a pretty good chance, a very high probability, they don't come from the town you live in. So that means if Freeport goes out and does all this work and traps all these crabs and does all this great job, it doesn't mean squat, because the people above us to the east, if they don't do anything, we don't get the salt, we don't get the spat. So that's a big key to preserving the shellfish resources of the state, is going to be continuing to identify different areas. We feel that salt ponds actually, the more we learn about them, that they actually have a huge impact when it comes to seeding the state. So those are areas that we need to look at protecting. What we're, you know, one thing that we're doing in Freeport, also, excuse me, on the regional level, is we're throwing money. We're actually going to take one of the scarcest resources we have, money, and we're going to arm the New Meadow Salt Pond quahog rakers with crab traps. And, it does appear that through research that you can actually protect salt ponds from crabs, because there's a very small, limited entry point of entry, and most of them have quite small habitats to begin with. So, you know, these are the types of things. It's just an example of some stuff that we're going to be exploring, and we hope to be moving ahead very soon. Research and development. You know, it's a frustrating thing when you read the list of research projects that go on in this state with regard to natural resources research and funding, development. You know, we really could care less about a tropical fish or some other bizarre species that takes money out of the Maine Economic Improvement Fund when we know we have shellfish marine resource menu items that are being depleted to unprecedented levels. I found it odd, and I don't like to contradict, because I actually love Patrice, and I think she does an unbelievable job at MLA, but I think it's a stretch to say that the lobster catch is not resource-driven. Something's driving the lobster catch. It isn't that they've done an unbelievable job managing the resource. That's not why there's 123 million pounds being caught. You know, that's about the only thing left down there. You know, I don't really know for sure, but like I said, we're quite convinced that we think the lobster population will provide a pretty good resource for the green crabs when they run out of clams in the next 2 years. You know, so, I mean, that's the kind of things we're talking about. So they're on the menu. And it's well documented what they eat. So, again, like I said, and one thing I forgot on the menu item is eelgrass. And, you know, they've been documented to cause eelgrass destruction. So there's a lot of different environmental, ecological aspects to this creature that basically have been ignored. I haven't really seen anything in a reference to green crabs in any management plan of anything. All I see is regulating fishermen, blaming them, hoping that reducing their effort will make it better, make them come back. We hope that winters get bad. We hope that the ice comes back. Well, you know, we can't hope anymore. You know, we need to do something about this, these green crabs. So that's why I drove up here today, because I want to tell you guys all this stuff we've learned. But
yeah, it wasn't just to cheer us up.
No, it wasn't just to cheer you up. But these are the kind of things that, you know, that we've discovered. And like I said, it is deeply troubling. So anyways, that's it. You have any questions?